Hi, everybody. My name is Carrie, and I teach in the School of Social Work at the University of New England, which is just up the road here in Portland, Maine. And I'm going to be talking about a project that we've been working on for about a year and a half, and we were just starting to evaluate it, so I have no data. So if you're like, when's the data coming? It's not coming. Well, next year, maybe. Not today. I'm just going to give you kind of an overview of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. So we're doing this, we've built this interprofessional collaboration between the jail and the University of New England to address some of the health issues that are going on at the jail. And as you probably are aware, incarcerated people have higher rates of chronic disease, infectious disease, mental health issues, addiction, and suicide risks. So there's a lot to address at the jail. And specifically at CCJ, Cumberland County Jail, where we're doing our work, there's just not a rehabilitation model there. You know, there are, in some jails and prisons, there is still that model, and it's just not there at CCJ. So there's very little in the way of services. The healthcare services are very minimal. They have a PA and a couple nurses that are there during the week. They have a psychiatrist who comes one day a week. And they have a dentist who comes one day a month to serve all of the inmates. They also have very limited education opportunities. They do GED, they do a culinary arts program, and that's it. And they do limited preparation for a reentry. So they do have a work release program, but a very small number of inmates get to be in that. And if you're not in that, you get nothing. You walk out the door when you walk out the door. One reason why there's so few services is the argument is, well, people aren't at the jail very long, so why give them a lot of services? If we're going to do services, let's put them at the jail. But the thing is that, yeah, people aren't there very long, but they're there a lot, right? They come back. So they may be there for a week, leave, a few weeks, come back for another week. And then some people are there as long as 3 years. If they're awaiting trial or there's something going on with their case that's sort of dragging on. So some people are there quite a long time. So just to give you a sense of what we're talking about, the Cumberland County Jail is built for 600 and it has about 450, so it's not overcrowded. They actually have an empty pod and we have our eyes on this pod to do like a super cool therapeutic community where they get everything they need, and they all live together in the housing unit, so we're working on a grant for that. And it's about $14 million to run it, and about 200 people work there. And so then we look at the University of New England, and we see, wow, it's a big, giant place compared to that. It's a tiny university compared to universities. But compared to the jail, right, it has tons of resources. It has 1,000 people working there. It has 8,000 students. It has this big, giant pool of money. So the thinking was, how do we take that giant pool of money and resources that the university has and funnel it toward this jail that has nothing, basically? Another thing about the University of New England is that it has a lot of health professions within it. So we have 10 health professions just within the College of Health Professions, and then there's other colleges, so the College of Pharmacy, Dental Medicine, Public Health, and Osteopathic Medicine. So we just have a lot of people to draw from, a lot of knowledge and skills to draw from to benefit the jail. So how all this started was about, well, it was not this summer, but this summer 2012, I did an Inside Out Model class with social work students where we went into the jail and we had a class about the criminal justice system with inmates. So the inmates and the students took class together. This is a model that's all over the country. It was started by a woman named Lori Pompa at Temple University. It was actually the subject of my dissertation research. And so it's a model I know, the pros and cons of the model I know very well. And so we did this class, which is all based on dialogue and mutual sharing and collaboration. And the students in the class got really jazzed about the idea of we could really do something. We could, you know, we came up with our dream reentry program and it was like, why not do it? So then we decided to create this collaboration, right? An entity that would think about how to get university resources flowing toward the jail and all the different ways we could do that. And so we created the planning group, which is students, inmates, jail staff, and faculty, UNI faculty. And we meet every week and we talk about all the ways we could do this. And then, so one thing we thought really easy, well, let's just start bringing students in from all the health professions, anyone who wants to come, and get them thinking about what they could do. And so we did that. We brought in lots of students, and we had lots of workshops and lots of discussions with inmates and students talking together about what would benefit people at the jail and how students and inmates could play a role in creating these projects. And so last year, we created three projects, and we ran them. Oh, just to give you a sense of when I say we brainstorm, right? So we start off every workshop with an open-ended question like, what does it mean to be healthy? And we brainstorm everyone's ideas, inmates, students, jail staff, whoever's there. We put it all up on the board. Everyone has a voice, right? Everyone's ideas count. And then we end up with this really nice broad definition of health. And then we think about what are the challenges to doing this at the jail? And then we brainstorm all the challenges to being healthy at the jail. So things like lack of sun, right? Lack of access to healthcare, temptation, because there's a lot of the commissary. It's all junk food, right? So there's lack of nutrition food, lots of temptation to eat food that's not good for you. The mattresses are bad. It's loud at night. You can't sleep, right? All of the challenges to being healthy at the jail. We talk about all of that. Really opens the students' eyes to all the things that are needed at the jail, and they get the sense of, oh wow, I could actually do something about some of these things. So we get, after we do the, what does it mean to be healthy? What are the challenges? We start talking about, and what pieces of this could we work on together to change? So that was our process for developing these three projects. So we did last year. We did health education classes. Working with the education department, students from PA nursing and physician assistant nursing and occupational therapy came in to teach classes on hygiene and nutrition and stress management. And these were topics that were identified by inmates and students during the planning process, right? These are topics that people really wanted. And so they developed, the students worked interprofessionally to design the classes and then went in on the on I think three housing units. There's five housing units total to do classes working with the educators there at the jail. And then we also did an exercise training project. That was last year. It was PAs and OTs, and this year it's OTs and PTs. They actually started yesterday on this project, and it's basically a biggest loser, but we call it biggest winner contest, where we have different housing units competing against each other. For weight loss, flexibility, and strength. And they've come up with a set of measures, and they've developed an exercise program. And so it's kind of a train the trainers, where they go work with a small group of inmates who then go back and work with other inmates, and then the pods compete against each other. And that was really successful last year, so we're redoing it. All the projects went well last year, and we're doing them again this year. Exercise training, like I said, just started this week. Health education probably will start again in January. And then last year, we ran support groups that we called Jail Sucks. That was somewhat in the group's idea, and it was very popular. So we had Jail Sucks support groups on all five housing units, so including the special needs unit and the women's unit. They all got support groups facilitated by social work students. And that was our one. It was really hard to get the students, and I'll talk about the challenges in a minute, but it was really hard at the beginning to get the students from the other professions to work together. They just wanted to be with their own people that they already knew, and so they kept pulling away, and we kept having to shove them back together. We didn't do that terribly artfully last year, but by the end of the project, having to work together, they super bonded, and they super came to appreciate each other and what they were learning from each other. But last year, one thing we couldn't do was get the OT, the social workers, to accept the OTs who really wanted to work on the support group project with them. And the social workers were like, ours, it's our project, you can't have it. So this year, we're starting right from the beginning of including the OTs in the process so that it can be an IPE process. And actually, the social work students wrote a paper about their experience that's going to get published, hopefully. leading the support groups at the jail. Okay, so what are some of the benefits? Like I said, we haven't done any formal evaluations yet. We're just starting that process now. But one benefit is that students get it, and that's two things. One, a lot of times we have to work really hard to get our students to understand inequality, the importance of addressing health disparities, you know, the challenges of working with marginalized people. And here they get it. They're like, giant need, human beings. We should do something. Like you don't have to do much. They just get it. And the other thing they eventually just get, and we're thinking about how to put more structure into it so they can get it with a little less pain, is they end up getting IPE. They get the importance of working together. And I actually wanted to show a clip. We did a presentation on campus. It was students who'd been part of the project, and then we had inmates Skyping in from the jail. And just some of the students really articulated in the video really beautifully what they got out of working with the other professions and how valuable they found that. But I couldn't figure out how to embed the video and do all that, so I apologize. But I have the link at the end of the whole video if you want to see it at the end of the presentation. We're just starting to evaluate all the things that students might be learning and getting out of this. The other thing is that inmates are engaged. The educational staff have a lot of trouble getting inmates to do stuff, to do classes, to do the few programs that they have because it's not cool. You're seen as colluding with the man, colluding with the system. And this is a project students or inmates will do, and so it's getting them involved in services, which the jail staff really appreciate. It's broadening everyone's definition of health. It's challenging everyone's stereotypes of each other, of inmates, of students, of jail staff, of educators. And it's increasing communication among different professions at UNE and different departments of the jail that are now having to work together, security, administration, education, the medical department. They're all having to get to know each other because we're saying, we're doing this project that's involving all of you. You all need to get on some page together. The challenges, workload, it's just a crap load of work, sorry, pardon my French. And it is for students, right? Now in PT and in OT, it's part of a class, but otherwise it's all service learning. They're doing it all in their free time. They just do it because they get really excited about it, but it's a lot of work for them, and the scheduling is a nightmare. All the student schedules are different, and then the jail has its own super rigid schedule, and that is a nightmare. But it ends up being kind of a bonding process, figuring out the scheduling. And just keeping the communication going between everyone that's involved. Bureaucracy at the jail, I haven't had to deal with. My contact there deals with it. Some of the jail staff just really hate us. So we've had things like students go in to do a project, and the jail staff just ignore them and just let them sit there for 20 minutes. You know, others are really, really supportive, but we have had some resistance. And then just thinking about, okay, how are we going to evaluate this, the challenges in evaluating things inside a jail. So those are some of the challenges. And then protecting the process, just making sure this stays student-centered, that the inmates stay involved, that everyone's continuing to have a voice. And if you're interested, we have an hour-long YouTube video where we're talking more about it. You just Google IPEC UNE, and it's the first thing that comes up. So thank you.